This morning, before we go to the Word of God, I want to just encourage you as we're getting ready to start a new year this week on Tuesday. It'll be a new year. This is a wonderful time that we can renew our passion for the Lord, or our growth in the Lord. And there's no better way to do that than walking with God. And at the top of our priority in 2019 should be to walk with God. And whatever you can do to help your walk with God, it's going to be worth your time. And whether it's Bible study, prayer, fellowship with other Christians, faithfulness to church, all those things are a part of that. Walking with God. But I want to challenge every church member to find a Bible reading program that will work for you. There's many of them out there, and we have a couple that we've put in our bookstore. They're free. You can pick up one if you'd like to look at them. These two right here are 25 days a month, and so it gives you about 5 to 6 free days every month in case you get behind, to catch up. And so I like that about these two. One of them, you have New Testament and Old Testament every day, going through the whole Bible in a year. The other one is just a book at a time with Psalms and Proverbs, going through the whole Bible in a year, from Genesis to Revelation. So you can get one of those in our bookstore for free. Or if you want to get one of these devotional books for $17.45, we have two different ones. This one is called Disciple. And every day, it's dated beginning January 1st. Every day has a devotion. And at the very bottom, it has the scripture reading for reading through the Bible in a year program. And so we have these available as well. And so I want to challenge you to do something to get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. You know, there's no greater way that we can grow in our walk with God than getting in His Word. And so this is a great time. If you've never read through the Bible in a year, it'd be a great challenge for you to accept this year. And I've done it for many years, and over recent years, I've been reading through just books of the Bible, studying different books, but this year, I'm actually going to go through one of these programs, this one right here. I'm going to do this one through the Bible in a year. I've read through the Bible in a year more than 10 times, I know, and it's been a huge blessing to my Christian life, I will tell you that. It gives you a great overall picture of the Bible, what the Bible teaches. And so I challenge you in 2019 to get in the Word of God. The Bible doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter number 5. I want to read from three passages before we go to the Lord in prayer. Genesis chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now if you'll turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. We're going to read verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch, was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One other passage before we pray in Jude, the little epistle right before Revelation in Jude, in this one chapter of Jude, in verse 14 and 15. Jude 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you today. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you've revealed yourself to us in your word. Because, Lord, without it, we'd be lost in our sins. Lord, we could not even know you apart from the word of God. Lord, we thank you that we have a perfect Bible. It's preserved and inspired. And we're thankful for the example this morning of Enoch. What a testimony this man had. A testimony that he pleased God. A testimony that he walked with God. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning through the testimony of this man. Lord, that you saw fit to place in the Holy Scriptures to challenge us and to encourage us in our walk with you. Father, we pray you'd bless your word now. Help me as your servant, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In each of these three passages that we read this morning, is a very striking character in the Bible named Enoch. He is one of two men that the Bible says he walked with God. The only other that I can find in the Bible that speaks of a man by name walking with God is Noah. And so that's very unique about this man. And it's repeated twice here in Genesis that he walked with God. What a testimony. That would make a great epitaph on someone's tombstone. He walked with God. But you know, Enoch didn't use that as an epitaph because he didn't need one. You know, the Bible tells us he's one of two men in the Bible that didn't die. He was translated. God took him. He was not. In other words, he was raptured out. The Lord took him out without passing through death. There's only one other in the Bible, Elijah. You know, I'm of the belief that in Revelation, when it talks about two witnesses during the great tribulation period, I believe it's going to be these two men, Enoch and Elijah. The reason I believe that is because they didn't die. They were just taken up into heaven, and they're going to come back as living witnesses of God. But as we look at Enoch, if you were to read through Genesis chapter 5, it almost reads like an obituary. It's talking about the generations of Adam. And it's not listing every son and daughter that's born, but everyone that's in the line of Christ. In fact, if you go to Luke chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but you can go and look at the genealogy of Christ, and you'll find Enoch. He is in the genealogy of Christ. And so it's recorded here for a purpose, but you'll find that each one of these, as you start in first part of this chapter, and he died. 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 But when you come to Enoch, and he was not, for God took him. Isn't that something? Man, God bless this man because he pleased God. He walked with God. God just took him out of this world without having to face death. You know, I cannot think of a better example to put before you as we start a new year in 2019. You know, this man, Enoch, he lived in a time that was filled with ungodliness and wickedness. He lived just before the judgment of the flood. If you follow along in chapter 5 and get your calculator out and start doing the math, you'll find that Enoch was translated just 69 years before Noah was born. So it was in that time frame, when you look in Genesis chapter 6, right before the flood, it says in verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." So you got to understand that the day and time which Enoch lived was a day of wickedness on every hand. You know, when I read Genesis 6:5, it sounds a lot like 2018. Did you know the Bible, Jesus tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The Lord's coming back. Wouldn't it be great if he came back in this next year? For some, maybe not. For some that are not ready to meet him, that are not saved, that are not walking with God. But what's interesting when you read this story about Enoch, that it says in verse 22, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah." I want you to notice that. So the first 65 years of his life, he didn't walk with God. But when his son Methuselah was born, he started walking with God. You know, it's the responsibilities of being a parent, that's certainly a motivation to walk with God. Listen, fathers, mothers, there's no greater thing that your child could say of you than that my dad walks with God. Or my mom walks with God. There's nothing better your coworker could say of you. My coworker walks with God. I want to challenge you with this thought of walking with God. Using the example of Enoch, I mean, he did it in an evil time when, as we just read, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. When every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, sometimes we look around and say, well, you know, it's just bad. It's hard to live for God. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Now back to Methuselah, I want to just share this thought. I mean, the name, I've searched it out, and most ancient and even modern Bible commentators agree that Methuselah's name means this: when he dies, it shall be sent. When he dies, it shall be sent. What this indicates is that when this boy was born, the Enoch received a revelation from God that God was saying, Enoch, when this boy dies, I'm going to send judgment. The flood will come. Think about that. Now, if you get your calculator and you start doing some figuring and you figure it out, study it out, you will discover that Methuselah died the year of the flood. And I think that in itself pretty much backs up what people say about the meaning of his name. Now stop and think about that. Enoch, he has this boy, and God says, listen, when this boy dies, it's going to come. Now Enoch doesn't know how long his son's going to live, and so he started walking with God. You talk about it's this urgent. You know, that boy could die as a baby, and the flood would come. But Enoch got serious about walking with God because judgment was pending. Judgment was coming. The urgent need to prepare to meet God. But stop and think about this. Most of you know Methuselah for another reason. You know Methuselah because he's the oldest man he lived the longest than any human upon the face of this earth that we know of. That the Bible records he lived 969 years. Isn't that something? What does that tell us? It tells us God is exceeding merciful. Because God said, all right, this boy, whenever he dies, it's going to come. I'm going to send the judgment of the flood. I'm going to destroy all the earth. When this boy dies, and guess what? He waited 969 years. That tells you something about the mercy of God, that God is exceeding merciful. God let this boy live longer than anybody else because of his grace. God was extending his grace in the face of judgment. But the moment Methuselah dies, the flood was sent. You know, as we look at the example of Enoch this morning, I believe he's a prototype of the last day believer. We're in the last days. He's a prototype of the last days believer and showing us how to live before the Lord returns for his saints. Those of you that understand prophecy, you know that the next event to happen is the rapture, we call it. The catching up of the saints, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, when that trumpet's going to sound, shout of the archangel, we're going to be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. The Lord's going to catch us up. That word caught up means rapture. That's where we get the word rapture. We are caught up, we're taken up before the judgment. You know, it's pre-tribulational. After the rapture takes place, there's 7 years of tribulation. The last 3.5 years are going to be great tribulation. So Enoch is a type of the last day believer that's going to be taken up before judgment. Because Enoch was taken up before the flood. Amen. God took him out. But Noah, on the other hand, when you read the story of Noah, God protected Noah through the flood. Noah is a type of the tribulational saints, or more importantly, Israel. Because God's going to protect Israel through those 7 years of tribulation. He's going to protect and keep that nation. The wrath of the Antichrist is going to be upon Israel. He's going to protect them all the way until Jesus comes with his saints to this earth. And he's going to bring them through into the millennial reign on earth for 1,000 years. Just as Noah was brought through the judgment of the flood to live on earth and reproduce. So as we look at Enoch as an example for us today, how did Enoch live godly in an ungodly world? Well, the Bible says he walked with God. He walked with God. You know, this is not just merely living by rules and regulations and or making resolutions, New Year resolutions that most people are going to break anyway. To walk with God means more than that. It means that our lives are in step with God. That our lives are yielded in obedience to God. To walk with God means that we are headed in the same direction as God. That's what it means, basically. It implies an intimacy and fellowship with God. You know, if you're walking with a friend and you're talking and sharing, there's intimacy, there's fellowship. And you know, it goes back to the beginning in Genesis 3. Remember, Adam and Eve, they were placed in the Garden of Eden. And it was there that God came and walked with them. You know, that's something God, I think we need to understand this morning. God wants of us. He wants us to walk with Him. It doesn't say that God walked with Enoch. It says Enoch walked with God. There is a difference. It's not like I'm walking in my own way and doing what I want and say, God, come walk with me. No, it's not that at all. It's God's walking and I joined up with God and walk with Him. Amen. I'm going with God. I'm following Him. You know, it's a daily thing that's walking with God, but I want you to look in Genesis 3. Just let's go there real quickly. And then we're going to get into the first point here. But Genesis 3, 8, this is after they sinned. This is after they took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. You know, walking with God, it implies His presence with us and fellowship, intimacy, all those things. God came to walk with them in the cool of the evening. God wants to walk with man. But here, because of sin, that had been broken. That fellowship with God, that walk with God has been broken. Man has been separated from God. Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden because of sin. You know, Enoch being the seventh descendant of Adam, he inherited a sin nature. You know, when you start Genesis 5, it's interesting. It talks about Adam. In Genesis 5:1, this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He them. Male and female created He them. And blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Male and female, there's only two genders, folks. Amen. But Adam was made in the likeness of God. Adam sinned, and according to Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, we all are in Adam. We could trace our, every one of us came from one man, Adam. Amen. We're sinners. We are in him, in sin. Enoch was in sin. For 65 years, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but for 65 years he wasn't walking with God. But all of a sudden when Jesus was born, we find him walking with God. Now, walking with God involves three things I want to share this morning. First one is it's a walk by faith. Walking with God is walking by faith. Because we find this man Enoch, his son was born, and he walked with God. You know, I want to just share with you a verse, and I'm not going to turn there, but you can write it down. Amos 3 and verse 3, it talks about that how can two walk together except they be agreed. So you have sinful man, and over here you have holy God. How can these two walk together except they be agreed? Well, we've got a problem because of sin. There's a separation. A sinful man can't walk with holy God until he is reconciled. At some point, Enoch was reconciled with God. Walking with God implies that, because you can't walk with God unless you're agreed with God. You know, the Bible tells us about Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. I believe the same of Enoch. Go back to Hebrews 11. Let's go back there to Hebrews 11. A walk with God is walking by faith. You can't walk with God unless you have faith in God. Because Enoch is spoken of here in this Hall of Faith chapter, says, by faith, Enoch. How did he walk with God? How did he please God? By faith. You don't walk with God by your works. It's by faith. You know, even Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians that in 2 Corinthians 5:7, I believe it is, we walk by faith, not by sight. We're to walk by faith. Walking with God, and it involves faith. You have to have faith. To be reconciled to God, there has to be faith. You know, right before this, in Hebrews 11, it mentions Abel. He's the first one mentioned in verse 4. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You know, Abel is an example and type of a believer that realizes that to be able to go to God and to worship God, you have to have a sacrifice. There has to be blood shed. Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice, and he did it by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Abel, at one point in time, he heard the word of God, maybe from his parents or maybe from God himself, but he heard the word of God and he had faith in God's word. What did God require man after he fell in sin? Sacrifice. What did he do for Adam and Eve? He sacrificed animals and he clothed them in coats of skin. God showed them, without saying of blood, there's no remission of sin. A holy God cannot just look over sin. It has to be paid for. It has to be atoned for. Abel understood that by faith. Enoch, we have to assume, yes, he also understood that by faith. He also offered sacrifice by faith. He came to God. It wasn't on the basis of his works, because Cain did that and he was rejected. Enoch was a man of faith. He believed in God. He trusted God. Because of his faith, he was made righteous. Because of his faith in God, he was reconciled to God. I want you to look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, it says, therefore, being in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way you can be justified before God except by faith. The Bible's clear on that. And we cannot even have a walk with God without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be reconciled to God by faith. And then in verse 10 in that same chapter of Romans 5, verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." There's that word reconciled right there. How are we reconciled by the death of His Son? See, there has to be a sacrifice, and Jesus, the Lamb of God, He came to take away our sin. So if we're going to have a walk with God, it has to begin with faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We trust Him as our Lamb, our sacrifice to take away our sin. You know, He says in Hebrews 11, in verse 6, you know, this is a very common, well-quoted verse by preachers and Christians alike, but we fail to connect it with verse 5 because we just use it and isolate it. But listen, it's connected to verse 5. He's talking about Enoch in verse 5 and how he pleased God. And then he says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look at those two words, impossible and must. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. Impossible. You can't. You can't decide, well, I'm going to make some resolutions in 2019. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start praying, reading my Bible. I'm going to be a better person and walk with God. No, that ain't going to work. You have to come by faith to Jesus Christ. You have to be reconciled to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then can you walk with God. It says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You know, I shared this in Sunday school. I was teaching on how He pleased God and how we need to live pleasing to God. But I was teaching about this, believe that He is. It means to believe God as He revealed Himself to be in the Word of God. Not to some God that you've conceived in your imagination. A lot of people today say, I believe in God, but it's not the God of the Bible. Their God's this God of love, this old man upstairs, this like a grandpa that, you know, they can live their life where they want. And he's going to be forgiving. Surely he's loving. He's not going to send me to hell. He's going to take me to heaven. That's a God that people had conceived in their imagination. That's an idol. You can't please God, the Bible says, unless you believe that He is. You got to look in the Word of God that God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God's going to punish sin. God is, yes, He is a loving God. He is a gracious and merciful God. But we need to understand He's also a judging God. He's a God of judgment. I mean, Enoch himself and Jude, he was preaching what? Behold, He cometh with 10,000 of His saints. He was preaching about judgment. God is a God that's going to judge a lost and ungodly world. We must believe that He is. We must believe that God, the God the Bible reveals, because you can't know God apart from revelation. There's no way you can know God. There's no way you can know Jesus Christ apart from the Word of God. God revealed Himself. So we have to believe that He is. That means I have to come to the Word of God, and I have to believe that God is as He reveals Himself in the Word of God. Without faith, I can't please Him. It's impossible. I got to put my faith in Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. Amen. It's only through Jesus. You know, this little phrase here, cometh to God, in Hebrews 11:6, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Go back to Hebrews 7, in verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. But then in Hebrews 7, 25, he's talking about Christ as has a greater priesthood than Melchizedek. He says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that what? Come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Who's able to save? Jesus. He's able to save to the uttermost, meaning to all eternity. He's able to save you and keep you for all eternity, but you have to come to God by him. Amen. By faith. Amen. Faith in the Son of God. Faith in the Lamb of God. You got to believe on him. So walking with God, if we want to walk with God in 2019, we got to walk by faith. We got to come to God through Jesus Christ by faith, be reconciled to God. And you know what? Faith doesn't end there. It begins there. The moment I trust Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, that's where it begins. Now I begin to walk by faith with God. Not by sight, by faith. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. You know, that's why I'm telling you, you need to get into a Bible reading plan. Get in the Word of God because, you know, how are you going to walk with God by faith if you don't have faith? Because the trials are going to come. The difficult times are going to come. And it's going to cause you to question God. Satan's going to tempt you and say, well, you know, if God really loved you, why did he let that terrible thing happen in your life? See, Satan's going to mess with your mind up here, and he's going to get you doubting God. A lot of people who are professing Christians, because of some hardship in their life, some trial, they stop walking with God. Amen. They stop coming to church. They stop reading their Bible. They stop praying. Why is that? Because they're not walking by faith. Amen. See, when a trial comes in my life, like, say, Job, it took away all of his children. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. But yet he still blessed God. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, how did Job do that? Well, it's because of his faith in God. He was walking by faith. He said, you know, God, I'm just going to trust you. You're sovereign. You're God. You gave these children. You take them away. God, your name be praised. That's walking by faith. No matter what we face in 2019, we're walking with God. We're walking by faith. Say, God, I'm trusting you. I don't understand this. I don't know why you're allowing this in my life, but I'm just going to walk by faith. I'm just going to trust your promises, knowing that all things work together for good. I'm just going to put my faith in that. God, I have this need. I'm just going to put my faith that you told me I can come to you and let my request be made known unto you, and you'd give me the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's walking by faith. Secondly, walking with God involves walking in the light. Walking in the light. You know, Enoch, he had an unusual testimony. The Bible says he pleased God. Right here in Hebrews 11, verse 5, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I want you to keep in mind, it was a very wicked and ungodly time in which he lived, where God was not pleased at all with man. God was already preparing to send the flood to judge because he was not pleased. But here it says of Enoch, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Every Christian here this morning, you have a testimony. You do. You could probably stand up here and give testimony. This is how I came to trust Christ as my Savior, and He saved my soul. You have a testimony, but not everyone has this testimony. See, Enoch didn't just have a testimony. He said he had this testimony that he pleased God. Not every Christian has this testimony. Isn't it sad? I mean, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say that I'm a Christian, Christ saved me, I'm a follower of Christ, you represent Him. People around your workplace and your friends, your family, they watch you and you represent Him. Do you please God? Do you walk with God in a sense that He is pleased with you? That's why Enoch had. That's a tremendous testimony for any Christian to have. You know, there's a hymn, "Nothing Between My Soul and My Savior." It says, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's elusive dreams. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There is nothing between." That's what walking the light is. Having nothing between my soul and the Savior. 1 John 6 and 7 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." You know what it says here? That God, remember, how can two walk together except they be agreed? God is light, the Bible says. In Him is no darkness at all. So if I'm walking in darkness, I'm not walking with God. I'm not saying that I'm not saved or lost my salvation. I'm saying if I'm walking in darkness, I'm not walking with God. To walk with God means walking in the light. It means I'm not in darkness. I'm walking in light. I'm walking in the light of His Word. Like another hymn says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all those who will trust and obey." Walk in the light of His Word. That's how I can know that I'm walking with God. When I get in the Word of God and I walk in light of the Word of God. When I get in the Word of God and the Word of God convicts me and shows me things in my life, I need to confess them. Did you know repentance is not a one-time thing? It's not something that happens just at salvation. It's a daily thing. I don't know about you, but I have to repent every day. Some of you are like, "Oh, I can't believe my pastor has to repent every day." Well, I do. I'm sorry if that disappoints you, but that is the truth. I have to repent every day. There's at least one sin that I commit every day. I mean, not on intention, not something that I want to do, but it's just, maybe it's a thought. Maybe it's saying the wrong word. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's neglect of doing what I know God told me to do. Maybe it's because I neglected to read my Bible that morning, or maybe I neglected to pray that morning, or maybe I neglected to talk to somebody about Jesus. You know, we sin every day. Repentance is a daily thing. So if I'm going to walk with God, I have to, if you go to that passage there in 1 John, where he talks about that in verse 6 and 7, you know what? If it wasn't for verse 9, we would be hopeless. would we not? He tells us, let's just read verse 8. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Folks, I didn't want to lie to you. That's why I said I repent every day. Then he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that. He is faithful and just. The only way he can forgive us is if we're in Christ, and it's only through the blood of Jesus that our sin is cleansed. But, you know, we need to confess it. If we're going to walk with God, we've got to confess sin. Walk in the light. Thirdly, walking with God means walking in agreement with God. I know this kind of is repetitious with the first couple of points, but how can two walk together except they be agreed? That's what Amos said in Amos 3:3. This word together gives the idea of two people in rhythm together. How many of you have ever ridden on a tandem bike? Anybody? Some of you? You have to make that bike go forward, you have to go in tandem. You have to be in rhythm. I mean, the person in the back, if they're putting that back on the brake, you in the front, you're not going to go anywhere if you're going forward. There has to be rhythm. That together has that idea of together, going in rhythm together. It's not getting God in rhythm with us, it's us getting in rhythm with God. That's what it is. G. Campbell Morgan, he said that to walk with God means that we are going in the same direction as God. We're in agreement with God. You know, it's like we're on the back seat of that tandem bicycle. God's in the front. He is pedaling the bike, and we're just following his movement. God is the one that's got the handlebars, doesn't he? He's the one that turns us this way and that way, but we're just in the back following, walking with God. You know what that means? That means surrendered will. You can't sit on the back of that tandem bicycle and not be submitted to the person in front. You can turn all you want on them handlebars on the back, but it ain't turning. It's not going to turn. Those are just there on the frame. They're not going to move anywhere. It's the front seat rider that gets that privilege. And you know, we need to give God that front seat. Let God determine where we're going to go and say, okay, God, that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to walk with you. You want me to go this way, I'm going to go this way. God, if you want me to serve in this ministry in 2019 in my church, I'm going to go in that ministry. See what I'm saying? We're submitted to God. God, whatever your will is, I'm following you. I'm walking with you. But see, a lot of Christians today, they want, God, I'm going to do this. I want you to walk with me now. I want you to follow me, God. It doesn't work that way. Walking with God means I submit, surrender to God, my will to God. God, you're my God. You're my Lord. You're my master. I'm following you. I'm walking with you. So if we're going to walk with God, it means we're going to go God's way. We're going where God is going. We're going to do what God is doing. That's what it means to walk with God. You know what's amazing about all this? It said in Genesis 5 that Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now this was before the flood. Men lived longer. But still, he lived from the time Methuselah was born till the time God took him. What we see there is a consistent, continuous, constant walk with God. That's what God is putting before us in His Word, to follow this example of faith, the faith that Enoch had, to walk by faith, to walk in the light, to walk in agreement with God. Do it consistently, constantly, continuously, till Jesus comes. That's what He wants. That's what God wants of us. You know, that's 300 years is 109,500 days of walking with God. Can you imagine how intimate he must have got with God to have that much time with Him? 300 years. I hadn't even made it to 50 yet. 50 years of walking with God. Yeah, I'm over 50 in my age, but walking with God, I hadn't even made it 50 years of walking with God yet. I can't imagine 300 years how much he got to know about God, because he was walking continuously with God. See, walking with God implies this, or one of the results of walking with God is a growth in grace. You're going to grow when you walk with God. You get saved, you start out as a babe in Christ. Remember, we preached all this last year, our theme. I'm here when I grow from here. We start as a baby in Christ. We take the milk of the Word, and as we get the milk of the Word, we get, as time goes along, we're able to take baby steps. We're starting to learn how to walk in the Christian life. And, you know, that's a growth process. So walking with God is the same. It's a process of growth. But if I'm not walking with God, I'm not growing with God. We need to ask that question all over again. I'm here. Where do I grow from here? Where are you? Are you still a baby? Are you still a little child in the faith? Do you need to grow and walk? If you're going to grow, you need to walk with God. You know, walking with God involves not just a growth in grace, but we see that he had a witness for God. You know, his life testified. He had this testimony. He had a testimony. He had a witness. And as we read in Jude, how that he prophesied, he preached and witnessed. Let me tell you that before we can witness for God in 2019, we must walk with God. Maybe that's why many are not witnessing for God, or not walking with God. Walking with God, the natural outcome result is going to be witness, testimony, serving, shining the light. So if I look at my life in 2018, I'm looking back and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, where have I come short? Is it because I didn't walk with you? Is it because that somewhere along the way I got off course, I stopped walking with you? We need to be challenged by Enoch to walk with God. I like what David said in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David wrote that psalm. A lot of Christians love that psalm and take that psalm for comfort, but we need to understand something. David was walking with God. He said, God, as I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil. Some Christians may be going into 2019, you're fearful, thinking, I don't know what's in store for 2019. There could be some that are sitting out here today won't be with us next year at this time if the Lord tarries. I don't know. But if we walk with God, we don't have to fear. Amen. Whatever comes, we don't have to fear because thou art with me. Isn't that good? But you can't say that if you're not walking with God. If you can't say the Lord is my shepherd, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You can't say that. Because God's not going to walk with a sinner that has not been justified by faith. He won't. You know, there was a legend among the Jews that I want to just comment on this before we close about how that Enoch was translated. There's a legend that said that one day Enoch and the Lord were walking together and found themselves closer to heaven than earth. And God said to Enoch, it's too far for you to go back today. Why don't you just come on up with me? That's just a legend. It's not scripture, but it could have been that way. Who knows? But B.H. Carroll, the great Baptist theologian of the past, he said that this phrase God translated him means carried over or carried across. So what he's saying is God carried him across. Why did he carry him across? Death. You know, death is what separates us from this life and the next life. But the Bible says God carried him across. He didn't have to go through the waters of death. God took and carried him over those waters into heaven. That's why I'm praying the Lord comes before I die. I'd much rather to be carried across than I would to pass through the waters of death. Amen. Just to think about this, that as Enoch was walking with God by faith, the next moment faith became sight. Amen. I don't think and I don't believe that God was in a visible presence with him those 300 years. I believe it's just like today. God is with us in spirit. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He was walking by faith. Just like you and I need to walk by faith. But then, bam, he was in the presence of God. He saw for the first time the face of God. You know, there's nothing greater that could be said about us, about our life, than this, that we walked with God. Amen. You know, when we're gone, people can say all kinds of things. Well, he went to the moon. Or he was the president of the United States. Or he was the wealthiest man. Or he was this. Or he was that. But far better than any of those things would be, he walked with God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for the example that you've set before us this morning, the example of Enoch, a man who lived in exceeding wicked times, filled with ungodliness, sexual perversions, all sorts of wickedness, just like what we see today. But Enoch walked with you. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Lord, what a great example for us, and that it's possible for us that we too can walk with you as we face a new year. of uncertainties, that we can walk with you, Lord, by faith. As we walk in the light, as we walk in agreement to you. Lord, I pray this morning if there's anyone here that has never taken that first step of faith and come to Jesus for salvation, I pray that today they would take that step of faith, that they'd come to God by Jesus Christ. They'd realize that Jesus Christ died for their sin on the cross, was buried and rose again, that he's alive, he's a living Savior, that he is able to save to the uttermost. Oh Lord, that they would come to God today for salvation. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, Lord, as we evaluate this past year, our lives, Lord, may we be challenged to a closer walk with you in 2019. May we be challenged to be consistent, to be constant in our walk with you. Lord, that if there's sin in our life, that we would be quick to confess that sin and get it right. Lord, that we can keep in fellowship with you and walking in the light. Lord, I'm asking that this invitation, Lord, that you would have your way in each of our hearts. Lord, we're trusting it over to you, and I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand.